Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. You're watching the after show for Queen Sugar, Caroline Dusk. Stay tuned for more. Welcome, Queen Sugar fans. We are back. My name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
I am Angie Skates, and you can find me on Twitter at @Angie_Skates and on the gram at @Big_Ange.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Kels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheUrbanGypsyLA.
Well, we had another beautiful, beautiful episode of Queen Sugar. To me, this was a very kind of healing episode where there was a lot of like therapy. Well, yeah, figuratively, literally. What do you guys, I guess, think? Let's go to start at the top. Mike is missing that first therapy session with Charlie. What do you guys think about that dynamic and how that played out?
We realized that Charlie needs therapy by herself. Micah didn't need to be there.
Yeah. I think she is having some issues that surfaced in her childhood or that are resurfacing now that stem from her childhood. And we are kind of like learning the backstory of Charlie, really. We never really dived into that. But it also seems like she's worried about her relationship with Micah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that there's some rifts there. But she needs to work on herself in order to repair that relationship, I think, with Micah.
Right. That's basically what we find out, that in order for her to really know how to communicate with Micah and see where he's coming from, she has to figure out where she came from and why she is the way she is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hope they continue that with the season, because I feel like these characters come off and they feel so rich, but I'm realizing we don't really know that much about them and their backgrounds and their histories.
Right. We really don't.
I think before Charlie, I mean, because she did kind of blow up at Nova.
Yeah.
It seemed like she came around fairly quickly.
Yeah.
As before, she would have had this big old grudge and it would have, you know. So the character arc between those two, I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, that you're seeing the real sisterhood.
Yeah.
And then, when Nova comes over, which I love seeing Nova in her element because, like, that's how we kind of were introduced to her and, like, we don't see enough of that. What do you guys think about that scene? I loved it.
Me and my sisters. Blessing his face to come in there. Ooh, the energy off in here, girl.
Well, and Charlie wasn't really having it, but she let her do her thing.
Yeah, I liked it. I just feel like we see Nova being more patient with her, too. And you can tell she has some type of issue with Charlie's mom, but I don't know if she's suppressing it or if she's, you know, just being mature about how she discusses it. So.
Whatever it is, she's not letting it get in the way of what her and Charlie are building.
Yeah. And I hope we get to see this mom because now she's really becoming a real character that
we
can, like, really,
now
like,
I want
to
meet her.
Yeah, come on. Bring her to the screen. Then we have Ralph, Angel, and Darla. And that relationship is... And it looks like towards the end it may not be as good as it looks. What do you guys think of that whole arc, them starting off and she not taking the help or not wanting to move in with Ralph Angel?
I think she needs to stand on her own 2 feet. That is part of her recovery, and she keeps saying that over and over and over again. Even though I know you don't think she's standing on her own 2 feet, I just feel like she needs some sort of independence. Because when you have a dependency on something, even though it is a substance, you can't redefine your life by building a certain dependency on something or someone else. So I feel like she needs that. And Ralph is having a hard time understanding that because he really wants to be there for her.
Yeah, there's like very much so tension because Ralph is like, I want to take care of you. I want to be a man. I want to show you that I can be a man and take care of my family. But at the same time, she does seem to need her independence.
I don't even get it, though. She wants to be the mother to Blue and around more. She seems to be in love with Ralph Angel and wants that to work. And she just lost her job. We know it's been 2 weeks. Nothing's coming through. Her resume is, you know. Some internships in college. No. So, like, I mean, in that situation, do you think you yourselves would have been like, I got to stand my own 2 feet?
No, I ain't too proud to accept help when I need it.
I'm not battling sobriety either, so I don't know.
Yeah. Not today, anyway.
But yeah, I would have moved down and be like, hey, okay, cool. So I don't have to be all stressed out about finding a job, like, right away.
Yeah, because I would think that would make you, like, relapse, is that you're broke and you have no...
I think she's trying to avoid some of the same behavioral patterns that put her in that position to begin with. So I understand that a little bit.
But at the end of the day, she took the job from Charlie, a job she wouldn't have otherwise if not for the family connection, the hookup.
Yeah. True. But how do you guys feel about Ralph Angel's response to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he...
it was weird.
There was so much on his face, and I was just like, let's spit it out, because I need to know.
It seemed like he was upset with it. Like, he was struggling with that. Like, that damn Charlie again.
Well, helping mom, baby mama.
Well, probably because he feels Charlie does, like, run so much of his life. You know, he already had that issue with, you run this, you run that, you tell me what to do, da da da. And now you're telling, essentially, my wife, my girlfriend, you know, what to do. So I think he's just upset about the fact that Charlie, in some... in almost a totality of a way, controls his life and his future. So I think that might be...
So you think he would have been happier if she was like, no, I can't hire you?
Or I think he'd been happier if it was Nova or someone other than Charlie, because he's already thinks Charlie has too much control over his life, and he thinks wrongfully so because he owns the land.
Right.
So, and then we had a Hollywood and Vi.
Those two lovebirds.
Yeah, it's such a sweet little... Even when things are going wrong, I feel like it's, oh, I'm enjoying the sweetness between you guys.
Yeah, too. They deserve it, both of them. And I like that Vi is not being the strong one. She's not being the one that's taking care of everything. Hollywood is taking care of Vi. They're taking care of each other in essence, but it's okay to like lean on your partner. And I think that she's struggling with that a little bit. Can I just say that I really appreciate Auntie Vi laying in bed with her bonnet on? Like, because that's real life.
But her makeup was, like, fully done, though.
Yeah. I noticed that, too, because I was like, the makeup is pretty.
Great, perfect. She hid it from her long day, took her wig off, and put on that bonnet.
I thought it was the next morning where she was like, I'm going to stay sleeping all day.
You know how some people wake up with their makeup still intact?
Whatever. No, that was a cute little scene, and, yeah, just seeing her more vulnerable and him uplifting her, I always love to see that with those two.
Yeah, and that last scene when like he kind of, you know, I'll take care of the AC, you guys work on this. I thought that was just a good balance for a relationship.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting. I think what we're seeing in this episode is the depth and breadth of masculinity, more specifically black masculinity, through the characters of Charlie and Nova, through the lens of these women. And I feel like we're discussing aspects of black masculinity that we don't, or at least witnessing or experiencing in the show, that we don't necessarily get to break down or see on so many different levels. And I'm enjoying it a lot, like a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of that element, we have this meeting with Tuan where Ralph Angel, so...
How do I
even get there? Because now I just remembered how upset I was about Darla throwing away that doll. I almost forgot about it.
Yes. Should we start
there? Yeah, let's start there with Darla being a little crazy, competing with Kenya, the doll.
I thought Blue had Kenya to replace her, too. And I think I've said that on the show. Yeah. So I thought that as well. So I was kind of laughing because I felt like...
He was so upset.
I know, but he'll get over it.
I thought it was selfish of her.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you, like, have your issues and not be there for him and this be the thing that comfort him or something that he finds solace in, and you take that away, like...
And her throwing away that doll was just a projection of the way she was feeling, nothing to do with Blue.
Exactly. Like,
well, once I found that out. But at first, I thought it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, you're getting older, let go of the doll.
No.
Which I would assume if anyone were to do that, that it would be Ralph Angel.
And you would let Ralph Angel, let the guy who's been here, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so I was a little upset with that.
She said I threw it away. Let me tell you something.
Blue is having a fit.
And I don't know why they didn't think to buy that replacement doll before going to the trash.
I was irritated with Ralph Angel for that. That was too much.
Yeah.
That was too much. Yeah, the doll is gone now, okay?
Yeah, well, I assume that the doll was like you know, years ago, no, they couldn't find a replacement. Wait, you could have just gone to the store and bought a replacement. So we get Ralph Angel. He's, you know, in the trash looking for the doll. And he sees Tuan. I thought that was interesting. Like, I've never seen transgender characters... you know, portrayed on television. And then I got to do a little bit more research with Brian Michael, who actually is transgendered.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of that new interplay on the show?
Well, first of all, when I saw the black and the white cop that stopped him, and they recognize each other, I thought that it was important that we see this because we need to have more officers that are from the community, police the community.
True.
So when they see instances like that, oh, that's so-and-so that lives on this block over here. Like, you know, it's cool. But then on another layer, of course, Ava and all her layers, it's a transgendered cop, and we learned, again, we're examining black masculinity,
right? Yeah.
And gender roles, and it was, because you have this transgendered cop, like,
is, right,
I've never seen that just, kind of a character.
I don't know how she slid that in there, so.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, wait,
we just traveled to a whole nother world. I'm like, wait. And then, you know, when we think about transgender, the conversation is always a man transitioning into a woman more often than not. So it was just very interesting because I don't think my mind ever really goes there to think about the women who transition into men.
Yeah.
So that was mind blowing. It's just, I'm literally like.
And also gave you a little bit of insight to Ralph Angel's character that at such a young age he was able to be like, we're cool,
open,
like, yeah, seamlessly,
yeah.
And I think that might be a reason why he's so understanding of Blue. Maybe just giving him that space to be whoever he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought that was a beautiful little scene.
It was.
Now we have Darla meeting with her sober buddy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think about how she's trying to lean on her and, you know, trying to make sure she remains sober?
I think it takes a village, and she's reaching out to the community and utilizing the tools that she has. And I think it's important for her to have a life away from Ralph Angel. Like, I'm going to stress that.
Yeah.
Like, she needs her own shit.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of her. I feel like we keep saying, oh, she gonna break.
I keep waiting.
And I feel like she continues to show us, like, no, I'm serious, and I'm gonna do everything I can to be there for Blue, too, the way that I know how. Like, she's still learning and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I personally have a little bit more faith in her, especially seeing that she reaches out to the right people, and, like, even going to Charlie and, you know, reaching out the right way, you know? I have a little more faith in Darla, but we'll see. I thought Nova and Dr. Robert Dubois, that's a nice little blossoming relationship. What did you guys think about Dr. Dubois coming all the way from Atlanta to New Orleans because he saw a tweet?
I think it's necessary. I be thinking when you meet a good man, a nice man, a decent man, or at least that seems that way, they take one or two steps and then fall off. But he is, like we said on the last show, he's consistent.
Yeah.
And he's pulling out all the punches, and he's allowing the space for something to develop that's meaningful, and that's conversation, there's chemistry. And Nova is blushing, and she's shy, and she's scared. And I'm loving it. Like,
I love it, too. We're seeing, like, her little inner child come out. She's seeming like she's in high school again. She's smiling from the inside out. I'm all here for it.
And then the way Davis and Micah peeped him, too. They're like, okay.
Right, he's well-versed. He's not just one-sided. He's not just, seems to be not just, oh, I'm a book nerd or I only think this. Like, he has a little versatility to him, and that's always exciting.
Yeah, and I love watching the scene even just, I loved watching him enjoy being schooled by her, like being in New Orleans and her going, look what's happening, you know? I think they have such a good give and take when it comes to learning and these issues. I think it's pretty interesting.
I like how he just straight up told you, like, I like you.
Yeah.
I like you.
It took her a little while.
Right, yeah. You could tell she's not sure how to react to that because it seems like it must have been a while.
And I can tell you as a guy, it's the hardest thing to do. And then having her that phone and dip, and he was just like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I never think about how hard it is.
Yeah,
how
just
hard
like,
is it for you guys?
It's hard.
Like, why do you fall off after one or two
tries?
Because it hurts your ego. It hurts your, you know, so like you're there mustering up all this courage to say I like you. And then when you don't feel like it's reciprocated, you're just like, okay, I'm out. I didn't really care anyways. You know what I mean?
Like, so, before you start to care, like, let me get out of here real quick.
Yeah. So I think it was good that Nova reached back out and brought him the car. Because he might have been like, okay, I just, you know, put my heart out.
Drove all the way out here for her.
Maybe halfway, baby.
Right. Yeah. It's important. You need that. But I see it with them, which is nice. What did we have? Oh, and then we had Micah and Davis. I'm liking Davis a little bit more, the way their relationship is blossoming. Because it almost felt, to a degree, he didn't care about Micah that much before. And we saw in the police station he really cares. But I thought this one was like really father-son opening up. What did you guys think about that whole little basketball thing and that little game?
I think the opposite. I think that he's always really cared about Micah. I just think that he was selfish when he made those decisions about his family. But I don't know. I think for some reason when he saw that woman, the activist or the person that was there, the curly hair girl, I didn't want him to have that yet. Like, I felt like he is not done paying for what he did to Charlie. And I've always been like, Davis is a good father. He deserves to be that to Micah. But I don't think he suffered enough.
Wait. All he did was smile.
I know.
It was just a smile.
I know. but I don't know. It just made me uncomfortable, and I think he should focus on like a.
So you what? Felt already a chemistry building.
There was
building.
Chemistry.
No, there was.
It was, but I think that is, he's a good father, and we need to see more of that.
I like that scene. I think it proves again how important it is for him to be in Micah's life, because he didn't want to go to therapy. He hasn't talked, and this is the first time he actually opened up about what happened to him, and. Yeah. We find out it doesn't sound like anything crazy happened. I don't know.
Do we believe him? That was my next question.
It seemed like Davis had a question. Like, he was kind of, like, you're not saying everything.
Because you seem shook still about this. Like, I told you. So, like, either something really happened or you're a little soft. But,
He's soft. These ideals of that we place on black men or men in general, and it's just like, okay, let's re-examine these roles and why we're pushing these ideals on these men in these situations.
Well, Davis, normally I agree, but I feel like he was objectively soft. Like, I'm saying, like, objectively, he was very shaken up, emotional response, shuts down, not eating, and he was just a couple hours. You know, parents got you out. People go to jail like Ralph Angel for 10 years to come out, and they seem to cope a little bit better.
Well, so. Davis said fear is a rite of passage for us, and I thought that was deep. And it's true. Like, there's a, for a black man, for some reason, like, that encounter, that's that rite of passage into manhood. Like, now you know how the world sees you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then he talks about Micah. His words are not being in control of that situation, being out of control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know that shit is scary.
Yeah, and truthfully, I didn't grow up, like, you know, wealthy family where so I felt I had all this power and control, you know. So maybe for him it was jarring, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll give it to him on that one. But it did seem like he was hiding more. So
yeah, I feel like there's still some other layers, possibly.
Yeah, but he did hit hard with that first question, are you a sex addict?
Right.
What did you guys think about that one and his response?
I think sometimes children are, you know, they see parents as parents, and they're whole human beings, and we have to look at Davis as a whole human being. He messed up, and he's allowed to mess up and make mistakes. Mm-hmm. As long as he has the dialogue and this open discourse, and there's still relationship building between him and Micah, and even him and Charlie, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I appreciate his response, because I remember last season, he never really owned up to shit. Like, it was just always like, I need y'all to be there for me. And I feel like this is one of the first times where he's just straight up like, I think something's wrong with me. And I'm like, thank you. We saw something was wrong with you. Now you finally see it too. And I love that he gave Micah that opportunity to ask those questions, because, you know, you could tell he wanted to know some things, and he deserves to be able to ask.
And I wanted to see them hit a couple more shots.
So I wanted them to go back a few times.
I was like, there's some more stuff I want to know.
Right. Answer my questions.
But then with Davis and the lady at the Habitat for Humanity, I didn't feel as much about him flirting with her. I just was annoyed, because I'm like, you just always ready for the camera. Like, he's just ready to perform all the time.
Well, that's his job, and that's been his job.
Him and Charlie does that, though, really well. Like, just know how to switch it on.
But, you know, he was highlighting and, like, promoting what they were doing. And the first thing he mentioned was Micah, which I liked. Because I was like, I didn't like that he went into that mode for a second. And then the first thing he said was, I'm with Micah.
Yeah, he didn't lie.
I thought he was going to do a thing where he was trying to, like, look good just for the girl. And, like, talk about himself and do that whole thing.
Yeah, you can kind of see Micah get annoyed when people start to recognize Davis and are taking photos, and he's looking like this shit again.
Yeah.
Right. But he kind of turns it around, and I appreciated that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to watching that father-son bond. We don't see too much of that good, positive bond on TV. And, of course, it started off a little negative with the way things went down. So
that's true.
And then we had, what was it? I think we had... Oh, when Micah gets home and talks to Charlie. I thought that was one of the sweetest moments. What did you guys think of that scene?
It was really tender, and it was necessary for Charlie. And you talked about healing. I think this whole episode, we see the stigma of mental health in the black community as well. And I think this is an opportunity for them to open up. And then there's the healing. I feel like they have taken the first step to get over this hardship in their Micah's life and their life as a family. I think that was a good sign of faith.
I like that scene, too. I feel like it was kind of how Nova said, well, once I leave, you'll feel the energy shift. And so in that scene, I feel like you can see it and feel it when Micah walks in and she's painting. And it was very tender.
And she took a beat because you saw old Charlie almost kind of come
where
out.
Where have you been?
Yeah, like what's been going on? And then she said, And I like that because it kind of went back to the therapy session where she's like, oh, I know the difference between perfectionism and excellence. And then they said, the therapist said, does Micah know the difference? You know, that, you know, what do you guys think about that dichotomy, perfection versus excellence, and whether or not she was generationally passing down these habits?
I think you do definitely generationally pass down these habits, especially being a Black woman. You have two strikes against you, so we have to work twice as hard, you know, just to run in place with these other, you know, women or people. So that is ingrained into us, I think, not instinctually, maybe it is, because it's a part of our survival.
And then we see with Charlie, it's clearly however her mom was, that for her it's to the next level. Like, she's pretty much a perfectionist, so even though she's claiming to know the difference, like the therapist says, does Micah know? Because I don't know if you has she ever explained that to Micah, like have you broken it down? You are a grown woman and he's a little boy who clearly has to be damn near perfect.
And I was low-key upset that wasn't an Ayanla a cameo, because I was like, why shouldn't she be there?
Not Ayanla.
Fix Charlie's life.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, a nice little crossover, right? Well, let's get into predictions.
I think Charlie Mama is white. And I think that's why Nova keeps giving her side eye, and that might be why she's having such a struggle with being perfect over being, you know, excellent. So that's my prediction. Charlie Mama White.
Are we going to meet her?
I think we will definitely get to know. We're going to have to.
They built her up. She's now a character on the show.
We're going to have to see her this season or,
What's that mean?
My prediction, I just think shit about to hit the fan again, because it's going to come out that Ralph Angel technically owns the farm. You can see in the previews, it looks like it's about to come out. And clearly he's upset even about Charlie giving Darla the job and stuff. So I feel like he's just needing to assert his manhood. Every time he tries to be a man, the police show up on him. So I just feel like he just is still trying to find his place. And it's gonna blow up.
I think he is gonna let the cat out of the bag. Mm-hmm. I want him to hold his tongue, but I think he is. And it's funny, some of the commenters were talking about Ralph Angel being soft.
Yes.
But I think that is almost a sign of softness, is when you can't deal with your own issues. And because Ralph Angel revealing this is only gonna, like, Charlie's money is involved in the land. Mm-hmm. Ralph Angel can't afford to farm that land. And so all it's going to do is just hurt him and, you know, what he's trying to do.
So do you think he should keep it to himself?
Of course he should keep it to himself.
I don't think so.
Things are finally starting to work. Everyone finally starting to get along. The mill's about to be open. You're about to make money with the soybeans. Charlie helped you get the loan. Like, what are you doing?
I don't feel like he should keep it to himself, though.
I think it's a burden too big for him to carry.
Yeah.
So, I think initially him keeping it to himself was something that he is doing to keep the peace and for his family. But it's going to have to come out. Like,
why?
Because you can't build an empire and
everybody not know.
On a lie. Like, you can say, the land is mine, but we're going to work this together. We have to come together to unite over all the stuff that's about to happen between the Boudreaux and the Landrys.
But having kept it a secret this long, you know Charlie's pouring money into this land. You let Charlie buy this mill.
I don't think he should try to take the farm from her or anything. No. I just think she should know what her dad intended.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that's where Ralph Angel will be coming from?
No.
I don't think he's coming from
egotistical way. I don't think it's going to be a mature delivery or anything. I think it's going to be out of... I like a chess move. I trump you. I don't think it should be that way, but I do think he should share.
But guess what? Even if he does own the farm, like a lot of our viewers have pointed out, we love y'all, by the way. She owned the mill, so
But she technically owns the farm in the fact that she's put all her money there.
Right.
Yeah,
our viewers have pointed that out as well.
Yeah, I feel like he can't. He's not even ready to run that farm alone. Like, he still needs her, and Nova has to still be there kind of as the mediator and the peacemaker. So, but I do think they should know.
I'm like afraid he's going to, like, what is it, cut off his nose to spite his face.
He really might.
And then I had one other thing. What was it? We had Ralph Angel. What did I want to go back to?
With Ralph Angel?
Yeah, there was something else we had talked about earlier. I can't remember what it was.
What was it?
I don't know. Blue jail.
Well. It's either blue jail or...
what was that last piece? Well, we may have to cover it next week. Do you guys have any other predictions?
I think that's it for now.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out next week if Ralph Angel can keep his mouth shut. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Yeah. It was Hollywood and Vi. When Vi tells Hollywood about the letter, it was a C. Like, just relationship wise, do you guys approve of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think if you tell somebody something, you should expect that that person is going to share it with their best friend, and then their best friend is going to share it with their best friend.
I was like, why are you opening this Pandora's box by adding any more people to this information?
Yeah, I was thinking, dang, if I cannot hold water. But I do agree. Like, if you tell somebody, they're at least going to tell their spouse, their significant other, if not their best friend. And like you said, their best friend tells their best friend. But for sure, if you're talking to, at least mostly with women, if you tell a woman something, she's going to tell her man.
Oh, okay. So now, I just know now. I don't
count, technically.
Because I thought that was a huge secret. Why are you just telling Hollywood?
It's just Hollywood, right? That's what she's thinking. Yeah. Like, she had to tell somebody.
And then Hollywood and Ralph Angel are pretty close, too. So I don't think that will immediately cause any issues.
Oh, yeah, because until the end of the episode, I was concerned that her telling him that was going to be what let it out.
No, yeah. Hollywood's not going to be messy.
No, we love Hollywood. He can do no wrong.
No, well, if anything, that'll be somebody that could help mediate the situation when it does come out.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's coming out next week. So. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And I am Angie Skates, and you can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates and on the gram at Big_Ange.
And I'm Kelly Skates, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheUrbanGypsyLA.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.